You're listening to Trumpet Radio Live on 101.3 KPCG online, kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com. And we're broadcasting to you from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in beautiful Edmond, Oklahoma. It's green for now because we've had some rain. We haven't had the sweltering summer months burn upon us. Dwight Falk with you here, Grant Turgeon stopping by. Grant and I had the opportunity to go watch the Thunder last night. It's an exciting, exciting game for the Thunder fans. My ears are still ringing from the loud cheering and those cardboard things that they slap on their hands, whatever you call those things to make a lot of noise.
Yeah, the arena is really good at manufacturing noise. They're always handing out some sort of clapping device to all the fans, and then they play music at the right time, and they show clips of the most hated players on the other team to get them all riled up. So they're pretty good at generating noise.
Yeah, it's always funny to me when it's really loud anyway, and then they put the graphic up there that says, make some noise. Like, we are making noise.
It gets way louder after that, though. You thought it was loud, and then everyone's trying to blow the roof off.
They've got that little animated audio meter, and I'm like, well, that can't be
it's psychological.
Yeah, it can't be actually measuring the sound. We should test that. Next time they do it, everyone be dead silent and see if it still goes up.
We're getting louder.
Yeah. Anyway, interesting down there at the Thunder game last night, and if you're a Thunder fan, exciting times. If you're a Golden State fan, sad times.
Right.
There were a couple of Golden State fans sitting in front of us. They were outnumbered. Oh, about 22,000 to 2.
Probably did not make the long trip from Oakland, California either. Probably from Tulsa.
Yeah. Yeah. Those secret Golden State fans living in Tulsa.
Didn't know there were so many fans of Golden State living in Oklahoma.
Yeah. So they were taking a selfie before the game. And I don't know if I got in the picture or not. I was behind him. So
hopefully.
Maybe I did. Maybe my elbow got in there. Interesting story, Grant, that you've got here from the New York Times. And not really all that surprising, I guess, but interesting to look at. The title is Millennials, Roommates Now More Likely to Be Parents Than Partners. Usually when people get to be a certain age, they move out and they move on with life. And they end up getting married or getting into some sort of situation like that. But now a lot of them are staying home. Why is this trend happening?
Yeah, this is the first time in modern history where more young people are living with parents than with, a romantic attraction. A lot of it is financial, apparently. Come out of college and you have a lot of student loan debt and try to pay that off, and maybe you just don't have too steady of an employment yet.
Yeah, so that's the economy definitely has been one of those reasons. I think I saw something the other day, too, where it talked about how people coming into like the workforce now shouldn't expect to make more than those before them, which I think is one of the first times that's happened. Usually you think you're going to move on and do greater things, but starting to go the other way where mom and dad probably did better than what some of the young people are doing today.
Right. You can't exactly expect a continually increasing standard of living at this point. And another reason why so many millennials, which are basically people born anytime from the 80s to the early 2000s, a reason why they are living with their parents more than ever as well is just because a lot of them have been slow to marry. At this point, the average marriage age for women is 27 and for men it's 29. It used to be 22 and 25, I believe, back in the 60s. Now people are taking a gap between high school and college and then their careers and basically allowing their parents to support that.
Well, and I think in a lot of cases too, people in this age range, again, who have kind of become adults around 2000 or thereafter, a lot of times they've come from a bad situation where they saw some divorce or something happen. Or they're worried about the financial problems that can come from divorce, which is the main reason people get into financial problems, from what I've read, is when there's divorces. So you can see in some ways why people would be a little gun-shy to get too quickly into that situation, because it'd be, you know, it's financial for one. Maybe they're not in the position to do it. But also I can see where people would have a certain fear of getting into a relationship that they think is going to break up anyway and cost them a lot of money and a lot of pain.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And a correction here. Actually, the marriage age in the 60s was 20 for women and 22 for men, not 22 and 25. So they were getting married really young. And that could be a cause for some of the divorces that maybe the millennials have seen, because people were so quick to jump into marriage in the past that they weren't really sure if it was the right one. But now I think also the fact that there's a hookup culture, there's not as much of a push to find the one if you can just find whoever at any given time. I think that is a big issue as well. There's not really urgency to find someone to spend the rest of your life with.
Right. The there used to be a stigma if you were involved and you weren't married, but that stigma is clearly gone now.
Totally gone.
And so, man, people are just trying to get, I guess, the benefits of those relationships on one level without the commitment in the other. And so it is interesting. But what's interesting about this here is that they're still living at home, though. You know, they might be involved with somebody, but they go back home at night to mom and dad's house.
Yeah, you can bet that the parents are saying, well, look, this is clearly a bad trend because my son's 30 years old and still living with me. He should have been married 8 years ago if it was the 60s. So, yeah, I mean, there's proof everywhere that that kind of a lifestyle is a burden even on the family.
There's also been talk of, and I don't know if this article highlights it at all, but there's been some write-ups lately, and I think it was even written about at the Trumpet a few years ago, where there's this sort of like extended adolescence that people are getting into where they're not taking on adult responsibilities when they normally would have historically. They're kind of living through their 20s and maybe even into their 30s, sort of like overgrown teenagers, where I just go home and hang out with mom and dad and play a video game or do whatever I do, whatever I'm interested in, without taking on the normal adult responsibilities that would come, you know, in the early mid-20s and then, you know, progressing through the lifespan, people's lifespan that way. So did the article talk about that at all, about people extending that adolescence period?
Not really, but I have read a lot about that as well. There's a specific kind of a demeaning term for it. I forget what it is right now, but basically they're living at home for an extra 10 years after college a lot of the time. And it's just, you know, video games, hanging out, travel, whatever you want to do. If you have parents who have the means, then a lot of people are taking advantage of that. And you could imagine if parents would just say, look, once you graduate college, you're not coming back here. A lot of them would be set up. They'd already be what they call real adults by now.
Yeah, I mean, there is a certain, I think, good that comes from just facing some basic realities of like, well, you know, if you don't get yourself a roof over your head, you're not going to have any place to be. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a prod to get out there and to do something and to find, to start your life and start going in that direction. It'll be interesting to see because they're highlighting this trend of the millennials staying with their parents. What is the next generation going to be? You know, where is it leading? That's really what's interesting about this.
That's true. And even if you think about it, the millennials staying with their parents longer means that they're going to have less time to get established before their parents may need support. And so what if when their parents are older and can't really take care of themselves anymore, those millennials have really only just gotten established and don't have the means to take care of their parents, then their parents are forced to live in an assisted living home when they could have possibly lived with their own children. So it is a pretty selfish trend in a lot of ways, and the parents shouldn't be, I don't think they should be allowing it.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting you say that because I think that the if there's one word that people throw out there to talk about millennials is selfish.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's not everybody, obviously. It's just a very broad generality. But there was even a write-up recently that was kind of interesting where somebody that is a millennial was a young lady. She had this big rant against her own generation and was just pointing out all the things that... And now, again, I'm sure every generation does that and has that sort of thinking. And they can see negative things in their generation, and that's common. But there is a lot of talk, as you say, about like sort of this selfish culture. And even not that this is just a millennial thing, but... last night when we were at the game, I was amazed at how many people are taking pictures of themselves.
Right.
Constantly.
Yeah.
During the game, in the parking lot, outside of their car.
Yeah.
You know, just so you know they're going to put it on their little Facebook page and say, hey, here's me and my friend hanging outside. You know, fine, fair enough. But everywhere you look, it's just different than anything I've ever seen. And it just ties back into this very self-focused culture that I think is playing into why people want to say, look, if I can stay home and it's cheaper and I can go do what I want, I can be a teenager for another decade. I think that's a lot of what's happening here.
Yeah, that really does drag down the parents in the short term when they're staying at home for so long. And then even in the long term, like I said, a lot of children, to kind of reward their parents for all that their parents have done for them, should kind of feel maybe a duty to help their parents out when they get into old age. But those millennials, even if they want to do that when they're older and maybe they've gotten past some of that selfishness, they're not going to be able to because they're not even established yet. And they maybe took till they were 40 to find a wife or something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's a really interesting write-up there at the New York Times. Millennials roommates now more likely to be parents than partners. Full disclosure, Grant, you are a millennial.
I am.
But you've moved out.
It's easy to acknowledge the selfishness of this generation. I have my own selfishness, and I can see it very easily in this selfie taking generation that I'm a part of. So,
I think I'm just out of the millennial. I think I'm very late generation X that came
right
before the millennials.
I think I read that a lot of people say that the millennial generation starts with people born in 1982. So
yeah,
if you were born a little bit before
it
that,
was.
Then yeah. Then yeah, you're not a millennial.
No,
you escaped the scourge of criticism.
I have no selfishness. I was a sacrificing generation.
That's right.
No, every generation has their thing. And this is kind of a broad generality, but it is a generality because it does touch on some major trends. So it's interesting.
Yeah. What do you really expect though when a lot of college classes say it's all about you? You have to put yourself first. If you're not happy, then no one else can be happy around
right
you. If you hear that, and then the parents are like, well, what's going on here? Hey, you sent your kid to this college that told them for 4 years to think about themselves.
Somebody termed it as a new age feel-goodery, which I thought was great.
That is great.
Interesting fact. I read this today. This is a chart about age. If you are 37 right now, you are exactly in the middle of the U.S. population, 50% older, 50% younger.
Wow.
37 is the magical age. You're right in the middle, and somebody was commenting on the story, and they're like, oh, great, I'm the median age, and I make the median income. Thanks for reminding me how in the middle I am.
How average I am.
So anyway, you can factor your age there in that scale and find out if you're getting old or if you're everybody's getting older, but if you're in the younger side or the older side.
Is that you? You're
37?
It is, yeah.
Right in the middle.
Yeah.
So when I saw that, I'm like, they said, you know, it was the magical age. I was like, well, of course it is. And then they showed why, and I was like, oh, well, so what? It's not.
You're having the time of your life, and everyone else is depressed that it's average.
Well, yeah, the nerve-wracking thing is that, you know, next year then it'll shift, and I'll be in the older side
That's
of it.
That's right.
Probably. It's hard
it's
to
all
say.
Downhill from there.
I imagine it's always in that 35-ish right range, you know, this day and age when lifespans have extended a little bit. So anyway, if you're 37, congratulations. You're right in the middle for whatever that's worth.
Awesome.
Just out of the millennials and right in the middle. So right where we should have always been. Interesting.
We should all strive to be 37.
Yeah. Why can't we all be 37? This write-up, if you want to read the rest of it, it's at the New York Times. Millennials roommates now more likely to be parents than partners. And there's probably some parents out there shaking their head saying, you tell me about it. Grant, thanks for stopping by and bringing that to us.
Thank you.